Today is Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for professionals in payment engineering, compliance, and embedded finance. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover the macro rate regime that is actively repricing BaaS deposit economics, a 15-minute HELOC origination stack that threatens your highest margin card customers, and the sponsor bank audit protocol your team needs to run this week. The U.S. 30-year Treasury yield has breached 5%, the highest it has been since July 2007. Let that land for a moment. This is not a rounding error or a transient spike. Andrej Jik's documented rate analysis assigns a 70-plus percent market probability to a Fed rate increase by January 2027. 12 months ago, consensus was pricing cuts. That reversal is now the single most consequential input to the unit economics of every BaaS deposit program, every embedded lending warehouse facility, and every payment infrastructure funding arrangement in this industry. Building on that, Darius Dale at 42 Macro published a macro minute on May 26, confirming what the yield curve has been signaling for weeks. Core PCE is running at 4.4% on a 3-month annualized basis. TRIM means CPI, the measure that incoming Fed Chair Kevin Warsh reportedly favors as a policy anchor, is at 3.4% annualized, and headline PPI is at 10.7% annualized. 42 Macro's framework does not classify these readings as transitory. This is a structurally elevated inflation regime, and policy is going to respond to it. More importantly, the sovereign selling dynamic underneath these yields is independent of whatever the Fed decides to do at its next meeting. Jik documents that Japan's Q1 2026 Treasury sales exceeded the prior 4 years combined. China's holdings have declined from a peak of $1.3 trillion to approximately $650 billion, the lowest since 2008. These are structural demand withdrawals from the long end of the curve. They push yields up with or without a Fed hike, and they compress the capital cost assumptions baked into every BaaS program's financial model. Here is the operational translation for engineering and finance teams. Per Jik's documented rate sensitivity metric, each 25 basis point change in Fed funds translates to approximately $2 to $5 in annual revenue change per $1,000 in average deposit balance. That sounds small until you apply it at scale. At $100 million in program deposits, a 75 basis point adverse move compresses fintech side revenue by approximately $150,000 to $375,000 annually before any sponsor bank renegotiation. If you cannot run that calculation programmatically against your live account balance distribution within 48 hours, you have an operational intelligence gap that requires immediate remediation. Stress test protocol is straightforward. Model 3 Fed fund scenarios. Hold at approximately 5.25 to 5.50%. Raise to 5.7, 5 to 6.50%, which is the scenario the market is now pricing at 70-plus probability, and cut to approximately 4.50 to 5%, which is the scenario consensus was pricing 12 months ago. For each scenario, calculate sponsor bank NIM share percentage, multiplied by average deposit balance per account, multiplied by the rate scenario delta. That gives you annual revenue delta per account. Present those findings to your board within 14 days. This is not optional. While the rate environment pressures the liability side of BaaS economics, a separate thread is forming on the asset side, and it is aimed directly at your most profitable customers. Sadi Khan, founder of AAN, sat down with Anthony Pompliano and disclosed the architecture of a 15-minute HELOC origination stack that is now live. The product delivers a consumer APR of 7.99 to 10% against a cost of funds of approximately 5 to 6%, producing a 2 to 4% net interest margin on secured credit. Compare that to the 20-25% unsecured APR that incumbent card issuers charge the same prime customer segment. Ton's target market is 50 million homeowners carrying $400 billion in unsecured revolving debt, while simultaneously sitting on $34 trillion in aggregate home equity. That is the arbitrage he is executing. The origination stack Khan described is worth examining as a benchmark comparison between legacy mortgage infrastructure and the digital native architecture AAN has assembled. Traditional HELOC origination takes 30 to 45 days and costs the lender $3,000 to $7,000 per file. AAN's automated stack closes in 15 minutes at an estimated $500 to $1,500 per origination. The technology components enabling that compression include automated income verification via bank data aggregation APIs, Plaid and Finicity on the consumer banking side, Argyle and Pinwheel for payroll data, plus automated property valuation through CoreLogic and First American AVM APIs, digital closing with robotic notarization, and an AI-assisted compliance engine covering all 50 states and county-level recording requirements. For incumbent card issuers, this is not a distant competitive threat. Khan estimates a 2-3 year technology replication lead time and an 18-24 month regulatory moat based on the multi-state mortgage licensing footprint required to operate this product. The robotic notarization and AI compliance engine components alone take years to build from a standing start. ICE Mortgage Technology and Blend Labs are the primary third-party platforms that could compress that timeline for incumbents, but Khan's stack is architecturally ahead. If your program serves prime revolvers, the customers with FICO scores above 720 who carry balances at 20-plus percent APR, you need a competitive response strategy on the calendar now, not in 2 years. There is one compliance detail that engineering teams building any HELOC-adjacent card product must wire into their closing workflow before anything else. The right of rescission requirement under RESPA mandates a 3-business-day rescission window for HELOC originations. That window must be embedded in the closing workflow and confirmed complete before card activation. A card that activates before rescission period expiry is not just a compliance violation. It is potential UDAP exposure and a trigger for state AG scrutiny in a consumer credit stress environment. Speaking of regulatory scrutiny, the third risk stream in this briefing is the one most likely to be underweighted by engineering teams and overweighted by legal teams, and both groups need to recalibrate. Consumer credit card delinquencies are above 12% per JICS documented figures. Auto loan defaults are rising. 42 Macro's K-shaped economic divergence framework shows that bottom-of-K cohorts face structurally worsening credit conditions, regardless of what the Fed does next. Historically, consumer credit stress cycles accelerate CFPB, OCC, and state AG enforcement actions against fintech bank partnerships. The reference cases are documented. The 2024 Evolve Bank Consent Order, the Synapse bankruptcy, which froze more than $85 million in customer funds across multiple fintech programs that had single bank dependency and no contractual wind-down protection. The sponsor bank verification protocol for this environment is not complicated, but it must be executed. Pull your sponsor bank's most recent call report from FDIC Bank Find Suite and confirm Tier 1 capital ratio above 10%. Check the FDIC and OCC enforcement actions databases for any active consent orders, matters requiring attention, or formal agreements. Assess whether your program represents a disproportionate share of the bank's total deposits. That concentration itself attracts examiner focus even when the bank is otherwise clean. Banks identified in current market intelligence as alternatives worth evaluating include Thread Bank, Sutton Bank, Piermont Bank, and Grasshopper Bank. Complete this verification within 5 business days. More importantly, your primary sponsor bank agreement must contain 3 contractual protections that are non-negotiable in this environment: a minimum 90 to 180 day wind-down notice period, customer data portability guarantees, and step-in rights in the event of bank impairment. If those provisions are not in your current agreement, That is the conversation to have with your general counsel and your sponsor bank relationship manager this week. One more technical point before we close, and this one applies to every team deploying AI in a regulated workflow. Khan disclosed AAN's applied ML architecture on the Pompliano interview, and the precision framework he described is directly instructive. His team constrains large language models to 95% precision, with 20 to 40% recall, deliberately accepting high false negative rates to keep the error rate below twice the human baseline. The design principle is an I do not know classifier. In regulated fintech workflows, a confident wrong answer from an LLM generates regulatory and financial liability that a high confidence abstention does not. Khan also stated explicitly that 90% of machine learning problems in fintech can be solved with logistic regression or gradient boosting, not large language models. If your team is over-engineering credit decisioning with LLM infrastructure, that is a cost and complexity reduction opportunity sitting on the table. For the initiative to bring to your next leadership conversation, propose a sponsored bank concentration audit paired with a rate sensitivity modeling sprint. These are not parallel work streams. They are the same risk viewed from two angles, and running them together surfaces the true break-even deposit balance per account at each rate scenario, while simultaneously confirming that the bank holding those deposits is not itself a concentration risk. Frame it as a two-week sprint with a board-ready output. In this environment, that framing will get buy-in faster than a compliance review request. Thank you for your time today. That is your FinTech briefing for Wednesday, May 27th. The rate regime is repricing infrastructure assumptions that many programs have treated as fixed costs for the past 3 years. The teams that stress test now will have options that teams waiting for certainty will not. Keep your eyes on the rails. Talk tomorrow. That's your CR brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.